God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from Acts 2 for this Pentecost Sunday. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, grand openings are always big events. Fireworks, balloons, searchlights, anything to grab people's attention. Well, Pentecost is the grand opening for the church. And there was wind and fire and tongues of fire and life-giving words. The wind, fire, and tongues were unique to that first Pentecost. They were the pyrotechnics, sort of like fireworks and balloons at a grand opening. For this was the grand opening of the Christian church on earth. Some call Pentecost the church's birthday. And in a general sense, that's correct. That's okay. Pentecost is the day the gospel was first proclaimed to all the different people groups gathered in Jerusalem and was believed on by thousands and was carried out into the world. But in a narrow sense, Pentecost is not quite the church's birthday. Remember how God put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib from Adam's wounded side, and formed a bride named Eve. So in the same way, God put his own son Jesus into the deep sleep of death on Good Friday. And then from his wounded side, the Lord created a bride for his son called the church. Good Friday is technically the church's birthday. And that's why there was already a congregation of 120 believers when Pentecost arrived. There were only 120 believers in the entire one holy Christian and apostolic church that first Pentecost, packed into someone's living room, but God was about to franchise his church into all the world, beginning with the big Pentecost event on this day. Pentecost is better seen as the church's grand opening. And when it comes to grand openings, timing is everything. You need to kick things off when there's lots of people around. And so God chose the festival of Pentecost, one of the three biggest feasts in the Old Testament, when over a quarter of a million people would have gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world to celebrate the first fruits of the winter wheat harvest. So God now gathers the first harvest of believers who heard the preaching of Jesus crucified for our forgiveness and risen from the dead for our victory. And when they heard it, 3,000 people believed the message that day and were baptized. Talk about a grand opening for the church. Remember on Easter Sunday when the risen Savior came into the upper room. There were only 10 disciples gathered, and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. That was a little Pentecost, and Jesus harvested those 10 disciples. It was a sort of first fruits of the great resurrection harvest when he harvested them with the good news that their Savior, who was crucified to pay God for our sins, wasn't dead anymore. He checked back out of his grave alive. And then he told the disciples that Easter evening the significance of the resurrection when he said, "Shalom, peace be with you," which means everything has been set right between sinners and God. through Jesus' all-forgiving death and his death-conquering resurrection. And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, who is able to raise dead things back to life in Christ." And that first Easter evening became a little Pentecost. And wherever you have the good news of Jesus being proclaimed and people being baptized, you have the Holy Spirit being poured out, which means Pentecost is still happening today. Wherever the good news of Jesus is proclaimed and wherever people are being baptized, the Holy Spirit is still being poured out and bringing the dead to life. So now, 50 days later, Jesus breathed on the 120 disciples that were gathered in that upper room to kick off a bigger Pentecost. We're told there was a mighty rushing wind, like the whirlwind out of which God spoke to Job. But in this heavenly hurricane, nothing is destroyed. No walls fall down. The roof isn't blown off. This is a gospel wind, to let others in on the good news that everyone's included in the all-inclusive death of Jesus before anyone is excluded by their own refusal to be included in the death of Jesus. We're told that tongues of fire came down and rested on the disciples. Remember, John the Baptist said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." In the Old Testament, God reminded his people that he was with them in the pillar of fire by night. It was Jesus Christ who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and neither the bush nor Moses were destroyed. We're told that there was a fire on Mount Sinai when Moses received the word of God from God himself, and again Moses was not harmed. So on Pentecost, this too is a gospel fire, resting as tongues on each of the believers, and they're not burned up or harmed at all. In fact, they're equipped. Not a hair of their heads is singed. They don't smell like smoke. This is a gospel, life-giving fire of the Holy Spirit, announcing the presence of God and the coming of God through the Word of God. And with the wind and the fire come the words, Spirit-filled, life-giving, dead-raising, sin-forgiving words given to the church to believe and given to believers to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is in the delivery business. The Holy Spirit is sort of like the UPS or the FedEx man or the Amazon Prime delivery man of the Holy Trinity, taking the good news of Jesus and delivering it to you and me. Think about how many of us have been using the internet lately over the last 10 weeks to order packages because we can't go out and shop. And then, for some of us, we get the packages and we rejoice. But there's other of us who decide we don't really like what we ordered and we want to return it or refuse it, such as those pink chiffon bunny slippers you ordered from Amazon. And so we want to return. Well, the Holy Spirit is the UPS, the FedEx man, the Amazon Prime delivery man of the Holy Trinity. And he's come deliver the packages of Jesus's forgiveness, life, and salvation. And you and I are either going to rejoice in those packages we've received, or we'll refuse them to our own poverty. Jesus had already hung dead on a cross for our salvation. The Father had already raised him from the dead and declared the whole world forgiven by his resurrection. But you and I still have to be told and believe that we're included in the death of Jesus. Otherwise, the cross of Christ is of no benefit to us. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to deliver the goods. In John 14, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have spoken." and he'll apply it to you. He'll say, it's for you. He'll convict you that it's for you. The big gift of Pentecost is not the wind, the fire, and the tongues. That's the pyrotechnics. The big gift is the Spirit-filled words and the dead-raising breath of God, giving spiritual mouth-to-mouth to sinners through the mouths of men. The sins you forgive in my name, they are forgiven. Like Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, with our human vocal cords, we speak to the dead, and the Spirit gives them mouth-to-mouth spiritual resuscitation through the good news. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And by the Holy Spirit, they come to believe that. And when they believe that, they've been raised from death to life. All by the Spirit, who gets all the credit, who has now raised those first disciples from the deadness of unbelief to new life in Jesus. And he equips them, and he equips us to help him deliver his gifts, to speak the singular good news that the whole world is reconciled to God and forgiven in the death of God's Son one Good Friday. They were specially equipped to proclaim the good news in many languages all at once, because this was a grand opening event. It required some big miracle from God to pull this one off. And the Holy Spirit also gave a great big miracle of hearing as each person heard the good news in his own language. Parthians, Medes, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Cretans, Arabs, Elamites, mosquito bites, Bud Lights, you name it. Everyone heard the mighty works of God for their salvation in their own words. That's the gospel's for you. As Luther says, the words for you require all hearts to believe that you're included in the death of Jesus. You're in. This Jesus who is for all, who lived for all, who bore the sins of all, who died for all, who forgave all, who rose for all, who will raise up all on the last day, is above all for you. Placed into the manger of God's word in your own language for you to hear and believe it and receive it and to take God up on the deal he's given you that dead and risen Jesus has forgiven you. You've been given the Holy Spirit at your personal Pentecost, which happened for most of us at our baptism, or for others when you first heard the good news of Jesus and believed. The Holy Spirit was given to you at your Pentecost to let you know that you, the sinner, died with Christ so far as God sees you. Even though the nails didn't go through your body, they went through Christ's body, but God, for the sake of Christ, reckons, declares, and counts the sinner in you dead. Dead in the death of Jesus, he gives you permission to tell the sinner in you that it's dead in the death of Jesus. And then he also reckons, credits, and counts you as righteous and forgiven in the righteousness and forgiveness of Christ. And he sees you as risen to die no more, and he gives you permission to see yourself as risen to die no more in your baptism into Christ. And he gives you permission to see you as part of his family again. You're back in the family, having been given the spirit of adoption in baptism, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So now that you're included in dead and risen Jesus, now that you're back in God's family again, now that the Holy Spirit lives in you, the delivery person of the Holy Trinity, your primary vocation as a Christian is to let the whole world know that they're included in Jesus' death and resurrection. Don't say you can't do that, because it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit who is living in you, who does it through you. So if you're not, proclaiming or giving out the good news or delivering the good news of Jesus, then in repentance, admit that you're refusing to let the Holy Spirit use you. Repent of that sin, turn from it, be forgiven of it, and let the Holy Spirit who resides in you use you to deliver God's gifts. Remember, 50 days before Pentecost, Peter was scared to confess Jesus. All the disciples were scared. He wouldn't tell even a little servant girl about Jesus. He was so scared. But now on Pentecost, by the power of the Holy Spirit, even on the threat of death, Peter says, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead." So what changed Peter? Two things. Jesus' resurrection from the dead guaranteeing Peter life and forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit convincing Peter of Jesus' promise, "Because I live, you will live also." We have those gifts too. So Peter declared, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Pentecost is really the beginning of the end times, or the last days. It's the first fruits of that final harvest of believers that God is gathering. The clock is ticking. Nothing more needs to be done for the salvation of the world, except for people to hear it and believe it. It's the church's job to proclaim it, but only the Holy Spirit can actually deliver it to the hearts of men and raise the dead to life. You've got the message. Father, forgive them. It is finished. Christ died for all. Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. The cross worked. Everyone's forgiven. Christ is reigning. And Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will take all this that is mine, and he'll make it known unto you." And then the end will come. Forgiven mouths forgive. Blood-bought forgiveness loosens our tongues. In one day, the church went from 120 believers to over 3,000, simply through life-giving, Spirit-filled words of God, proclaimed by those who now knew that Jesus' death and resurrection was for them. But not just for them, but for the world. The church still has the fiery breath of God. We have the same word that was breathed out of the mouth of God on Easter evening and out of the mouth of Peter on Pentecost morning, chocked full of the same Holy Spirit. The key to Pentecost is not the pyrotechnics, the wind, fire, and tongues. Even fireworks can get old if you watch it every day. Just ask the folks living next to Disney World. The wind, fire, and tongues were like the balloons and the fireworks and the cotton candy at a grand opening. This was the grand opening of the church. But grand openings are not business as usual. Business as usual is the word of God proclaimed and the baptism of sinners for forgiveness. When the wind, fire, and tongues came upon the disciples, what did they do? They proclaimed the good news of Jesus. And then Peter said, "God raised this Jesus whom you crucified and made him both Lord and Christ. He raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, "How then can we be saved?" And Peter did not say, "You need to speak in tongues. You need to be able to do miracles." No. How then can we be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit too. This is your Pentecost. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What Pentecost and the end times is all about is God's delivery person, the Holy Spirit, being breathed out upon this world through the words of God and being breathed into us through baptism. And by the Spirit who can raise dead things back to life, our dead bones came back to life. So now we can breathe out life-giving words on others and bring others to baptism so that the Holy Spirit can raise their dead bones back to life to die no more. All in Jesus. Amen.